you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into another edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico, the CSS DFS version of the show. We're here as we have been all season long, breaking down the DFS slate for you ahead of this weekend's games. There's only two games this weekend, guys, so this week is going to be a little bit different from our perspective, the way we're going to break it down. Obviously, Mike and Al are super smart. I am very handsome. That's why they put me on this podcast. And so, you know, here we are with this week where less teams, less players, a lot of strategy goes into this, so I'm sure we'll hear from Al. Al ranted a ton yesterday on our call. Is that not true, Mike, Clay, when we did our pre-show meeting? Al ranted like no one I've ever heard before.
Yeah, he did. It was all angry, too. If you know Al, you know, he gets really angry, really fired up, super, you know, super ticked off. So I think we're going to hear a little bit of that on this short slate podcast today.
I agree. Al, anything you want to say to defend yourself before we get into the ranting of the show?
And calm down, please. Calm down, Al. Al, calm down.
Put your shirt back on.
My first introduction to this podcast, not this particular, but the Fantasy Focus podcast overarching, let's say, was in 2015. And I believe I told Stefania that I was about to flip the desk. And that's kind of where I'm at, apparently. It's like I'm the resident desk flipper on this podcast.
That's so good.
Let's do it.
So good. All right. We're going to do a quick recap. Last week, I brought home a W over Mike Clay. It was close, though. Last week, just in general, was a really tough slate. Scores across the board were just lower than we like to see. However, I brought home a win, which brought the season standings to Mike Clay, 10 victories. Daniel Dopp, 9 victories. Going into this matchup, if I win here, is it true that the Super Bowl matchup would be the deciding factor for who wins this season, Mike Clay? Is that true?
Oh, it is true. It is true. Oh. So it'll come down to the wire. I don't even think we did the Super Bowl last year. So, or at least we didn't check the results. So we'll have to, it may come down to the wire, but I'm hoping I just take this one and we don't have to worry about it. So we'll see what happens.
Could come down to a wire. Probably one of the best HBO series that has ever been created. Real quick, shout out to our winner, Eric's on JB, 157.94 points in our contest last week. Guys, make sure that you enter. It is free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes, doesn't cost anything. You can check out Mike Clay's Twitter handle, at Mike Clay NFL. I will actually tweet it out this week. I will retweet Mike with my lineup because I believe that I'm going to beat him again, tie it up 10-10. So check that out. And before we get started with all of the things we're going to talk about today, Al, I just want to open with your ability or your, I don't want to say ranting, that was obviously a joke, but I want to talk about short slates and how you play it from a DFS perspective. If you've not been a longtime DFS player, if you've gotten your toe wet, you've really enjoyed it this year, but now you've got shorter slates. Just talk to us a little bit about the strategy of when you have only four teams playing, how do you go about lineup construction and being different enough from the rest of the group to be able to set yourself apart?
So you need to think more about the story that you're trying to tell with those lineups. So if you believe that Tampa Bay is going to put up a lot of points and Tom Brady is going to throw for 3 or 4 touchdowns, then you're going to want to correlate, just like we do all the time, with the pass catchers that you think are going to get the heaviest action and score the touchdowns in that game. That goes for every single game that we have. You have to throw out some of the rules because having players against one another or a defense, you're certainly going to have a defense that's probably playing against some of the players in your lineup. You don't have as many spots of players who can score 20 or 25 plus DraftKings points on a 2-game slate versus a 10-game slate. So finding spots to be contrarian reasonably or rationally is a lot more difficult. So you're also going to have to swallow higher percentages on players. Finding players that are 60 to 85% played in a tournament, even a large field tournament, is very, very common in short slates like this, as opposed to maybe 30%, 25% being considered a high percentage in a main slate. So the way that I've always approached shorter slates is you kind of have to accept the variance that goes along with it. It's not about the percentage that one player has played. It's about the percentage that the combination of players that you're playing in a lineup is going to be played. So, like, let's say Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs is going to be extremely popular this week, but how many lineups are going to have Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, and a tight end? Or Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, and one of the other receivers, be it Brown, Beasley, or McKenzie, or, you know, whoever else. Like, you can find ways to get contrarian around a very popular stack or combination that's going to differentiate your lineup from somebody else. So it becomes more about the collective. It becomes more about putting together the entire story of that lineup as opposed to the individual player. I can't, you know, the quote, I can't play this player because he's going to be X percent played. You're going to swallow players that are 60 to 80% played. It's just the nature of short slate football.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense, Al. And certainly if you're listening and you're planning on putting 150 lineups out there, you can put mm-hmm. a lot of combinations together with the star players, but a lot of people listening are just going to play a handful of lineups, right? Yep. A handful of tournament lineups. And so my question to you is, mm-hmm. I mean, this week with the pricing, it's not hard to put a lineup together of all the, you know, the household names, right? It's not too complicated. You don't really mm-hmm. have to punt anyone. You could put a solid group together, especially if you include someone like Devin Singletary or, you know, a Tampa wide receiver, something like that, or a tight end in the flex. We'll talk about that more later. But the question is, I mean, if you really want to separate yourself and win this thing, you probably, and again, assuming you're only setting a, you know, 1 to 5 tournament lineups, mm-hmm. you need to do something off the radar, right? You need that slate breaking player, if you will, like a DeMarcus Robinson or a Gabriel Davis, or maybe an MVS who will probably have a little bit of exposure, but maybe it's Isaiah McKenzie. I think that's an interesting mm-hmm. one for Buffalo. Dare I say Lee Smith or maybe Cameron Brate, someone like that. Jamal Williams, you know, I can go on. How about TJ Yeldon? Maybe he catches a touchdown. So do you feel like if you're in that scenario and you're only playing a handful of lineups, you should pick one of those guys, maybe out of a hat and include them in your lineup?
I mean, I wouldn't pick players out of a hat. However, what you're saying is not untrue. What you're going to have is the players that score the most points, because there's no other ways for you to make up those points. On a main slate, let's say, if a player like Isaiah McKenzie has 22 DraftKings points on a main slate, 10, 11, 14-game slate, you can find another cheap player on that slate who's going to be within 1 or 2 points of that player. He's not going to break the slate. But if a 5,000 or less player has a 30-point fantasy day, there's probably no other ways to make up for that on a two-game slate like this. So to win a tournament, you're going to have that guy. To cash in a tournament, you don't necessarily have to have that guy to just make the money. Now, nobody's out here trying to min cash, obviously, but the easiest way to separate yourself, and the key that we're all trying to get at here, is you want to have a unique lineup. Because if you win, you don't want to cross the finish line holding hands with 25 of your closest friends that you've never met before. So in order to differentiate your lineup and get a unique lineup where you're the only person in the tournament that has that lineup, on a short slate, it is way more viable to leave salary on the table. Typically on a main slate, I'm comfortable leaving, like, I don't know, 400, maybe on an outlier, 600 on the table in one of my main lineups, one of my hand-built 3-max lineups or cash lineups. I'm okay leaving a little bit of money on the table if there's no possibility for me to upgrade. But in a short slate, it's not uncommon to see lineups built that make sense from a correlation standpoint that might leave 1,500 or 2,500 on the table if it accomplishes what the point of that lineup is, and that's to be completely unique, but still have high volume, high upside players to try and win a tournament by yourself.
Heck yeah. And with all that being said, there are only a handful of people to talk about at each position. So let's dive mm-hmm. right into it at quarterback. Let's start with Josh Allen, $6,900 taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously this Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes game is hopefully going to just be a ton of fun to watch just across the board. But Josh Allen being $6,900. I understand that Kansas City's defense is good, Mike, but I feel like that's a little low for Josh Allen because he feels like the obvious play between these four quarterbacks here.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to kind of work through these in terms of value, at least my value, right? So we have Allen here first. I think he is the best value on the board. You know, at 6,900, he's 800 less than Patrick Mahomes. And remember, these guys were basically equal during the regular season. Allen scored a lot more fantasy points than Mahomes, but had, you know, had played more. So in terms of fantasy points per game, basically even, we know the upside that Allen brings to the table. So that 800 price point, that difference is really why I prefer Allen here. No surprise. You know, when these teams played earlier this season, Allen didn't do much, right? It was a very low volume game for really both pass offenses. Allen only had 122 passing yards in that game, at 42 rushing yards, two total touchdowns. So he didn't really go nuts by any means, but, you know, playing at Kansas City, you know, considering how well he has played over the past couple of months, I feel pretty confident with him. They were also missing some players in that game. The weather was a little, it was a little rainy and a little bit windy. So I think that Allen is certainly the best value on this slate.
I agree with that. I think that based on that pricing, as you mentioned, that's really what thrusts him into that now. It's the highest total game. The total is moving up on this game since it opened up 3 points overall. I think that this is the more likely of the two games to top 60 or 65 real life points combined. That means touchdowns. Touchdowns is the one thing that leads quarterbacks to scoring. The highest predictor of quarterback fantasy scoring in the betting world is team totals, because obviously quarterbacks can score points through volume, but more likely it's about efficiency. You know, a quarterback can have 35 fantasy points on 20 throws if they throw five touchdowns, and we've seen quarterbacks do that in the past couple of years. I'm not expecting that here, but I think that this game does very likely shoot out, and the Bills offense relies completely on Josh Allen to score points. So if they score a lot of points, Josh Allen also, in a fantasy perspective, scores a lot of points.
All right. The one thing I want to ask about that game, and this is more of a strategy thing, and we'll talk about Tom Brady next, but when we have a situation where you see one of these games might have a little bit of weather, maybe a little bit of rain, maybe a little bit of snow, maybe it's just a little bit colder, is that going to affect anything for you guys saying, you know what, I obviously can't completely fade this game, but I will hit that other game harder based on the weather for that game? I'm not saying that that's supposed to be a thing, but if it rains in Kansas City this weekend, I mean, is that something that you guys look to pivot off of, or because the slate is so short, Al, I'll start with you. Is that not something that you normally think about?
I pay attention to weather. One, okay, I do have to say this. I'm not a weatherman. Two, I only pay attention to weather in football from a fantasy perspective when it is very, very, very extreme. So if it's a monsoon, like I forget exactly what it was, like the Jaguars, there was like an MJD game where there were literal puddles and lakes on the field. Like that would affect how they sure. play. If it's just kind of raining a little bit slick, if it's even snowing, just like flurries or whatever, that's not going to affect how they play. Super extreme cold, super extreme wind, 25 miles per hour or more, or an absolute deluge or a blizzard would make me dial things back from a fantasy perspective. But a little bit of precipitation, I'm not avoiding.
Yep, I agree. It's heavy wind. That's all I really care about. I don't care about a little rain, a little snow. Mm-hmm. You know, I even think about that. I think it was the Lions actually playing in Philly, right? The huge LeSean McCoy
Week
game,
16,
right?
2015.
Yeah, the Eagles had a huge, huge offensive game in that one. It started slow and then they went rolling, and there was tons of snow everywhere. So, you know, and again, if that doesn't mean if there's, you know, they're calling for a foot of snow during the game, you should just go ahead as normal. But you know, it can happen. Certainly there's a possibility of upside, but again, like Al said, unless it's massive rain or heavy winds, the big one. Wind is the one category you should really care about. Otherwise there shouldn't be any concerns.
Okay. All right. Then let's look ahead to Tom Brady, $6,100 taking on Green Bay. You look at his last couple of weeks, even last week, he had at least 22 DraftKings points. He has been on fire since week 15, having at least 22 points in every single game. Mike, what do you like about him this week against Green Bay?
Yeah, and again, I don't think there's any quarterback you necessarily need to avoid this week. So Brady, just like these other guys, is on the radar, right? Like Allen's the best value. I think Brady's next, but they're all fairly close. I mean, Brady, two or more passing touchdowns in 9 straight games. He's been over 300 passing yards in 6 of those 9 games. So that just shows you his floor, right? He's been delivering a very high floor. We like that in a cash situation.
Heck yeah. When I look at this, Al, you know, a lot of, like he just said, a lot of these guys seem to have similarly high floors. And for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, $6,500 taken on Tampa, it just feels like they're both such high floor quarterbacks, but maybe not the high ceiling necessarily that the Josh Allen type of quarterback could be in this slate.
I mean, unicorn quarterbacks who can run and throw that can double bonus for you are always going to have that really high ceiling based on the elevated floor from their rushing yards, the elevated ceiling from the potential of rushing touchdowns, and his ability to get 300 yards passing. It's like, I don't have the exact stat, but like Josh Allen, when the Bills scored 27 or more points, is ridiculous this year. Like, I'm talking like 32, 33 fantasy points per game, but I'm sorry for not having the exact stat in front of me, but it's absurd what he does when they score a lot of points.
It's true. It's true. All right. So let's talk about Aaron, $6,500 taken on Tampa. Mike, I know you just laid out some things there. Al, any difference in this order, talking about Aaron Rodgers before we lastly talk about Patrick Mahomes from this QB slate?
No, I agree with the order, and I know that people are going to re-at us for having Patrick Mahomes fourth on this list of quarterbacks because Buddy's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, but we use salaries here, and he is, what, 700 more than Josh Allen, and Tom Brady's way down at 6,100 in a game that they project to be playing from behind. So it's not just about the player. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have the two highest projections on the slate, more than likely, I would assume, on raw projection. But when you work in the salary in a points-per-dollar way, Mahomes looks like the fourth of four, and he's still awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is awesome. But think about this. Aaron Rodgers has two or more passing touchdowns in 15 of his 17 games this season. Patrick Mahomes has two or fewer passing touchdowns in four of his past five games, right? This Chiefs offense has not had the upside or the dominant production that we're used to. In fact, they're trending the wrong direction where you see, you know, the Bucks and the Packers and the Bills kind of peaking as of late, certainly offensively. The Chiefs are not. They are certainly not. So that's just something to keep in mind. It's not quite the dominant unit that we've seen before. By the way, when these teams played earlier this season, the Chiefs and the Bills, Mahomes put 21 points on the board. He was fine. But the Bills, you know, they did something pretty drastic. They went with an extremely cover two heavy defensive scheme, and the Chiefs said, fine, we won't throw the ball, we'll just run it and run it and run it. You may remember that game. Again, it was a little rainy. That game was in Buffalo. The Chiefs won that game by Clyde Edwards-Helaire having a huge game. They just kept handing it to him. It was a rare run heavy game for that team, and that may be the same thing. You know, Sean McDermott may go in to Kansas City and say, we're not going to lose to Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. We're going to put two deep safeties out there, and we're going to make them run the football and shorten this game. And that is very well a possibility. So keep that in mind when you're considering him at a 7,600 price point in cash. Also, by the way, on Aaron Rodgers, by the way, his worst game of the season was against the Bucks earlier this year. 160
single digit
yards,
points,
no,
right?
Yeah, no touchdowns, two interceptions. That was his worst game. You know, will it repeat at home? I don't think so. I mean, I'm projecting him a lot higher than what he put up in that game, but you know, maybe that's his Achilles heel, is that Bucks defense and that Todd Bowles and that scheme. So it's very possible. And that's risky in cash.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, let's look ahead to some running backs here. Running back is extremely low priced in comparison to the rest of the slate. It feels like Devin Singletary, $4,500 taken on the Kansas City Chiefs. Mike, let's start with Singletary really quickly before we talk about our next player here. So what is it that you like about Devin Singletary, who felt like he was underpriced last week at the same price point?
Yeah, and again, there's so few guys here, and especially so few standout guys, that we kind of group them together, right? So to your point, I have Singletary here at 4,500 with Aaron Jones at 6,500. I think that they are the two best values on the board here. If I can get them both into my lineup, which, as we'll get to later, can be a little bit tricky. But if I can, I want to get them both in there. Look, Singletary, disappointed. Last week, we talked him up on the show. He was my running back target, but he played 48 of 55 snaps. I mean, that's what you wanted. That's what we were counting on at his price point. We were hoping for that. He's still disappointed. They went very pass heavy. He did have seven of their nine carries by the Bills running backs. TJ Yeldon had two, and he did have all three targets. So it was a very rare low volume game, even for the Bills to just have that little volume from their running back room. It was very rare. So I think a lot of people would be sour on him this week. I know those people still be on him because of his price point, but there will be a significant portion of people that sour after what we saw last week. If he had a huge game in the divisional round, people would be, you know, he would be max owned. It would be ridiculous. So I still think that he's a fine value.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams from the same game, Al. $5,000 for CEH. It feels like he has just sort of flown under the radar here a little bit. And then Darrell Williams, $4,800, obviously his backmate there, both taken on Buffalo. What is it you like about either one of these two Chiefs running backs if you're going to play a Chief running back this week?
This is the if-then statement of the week for me, because if CEH is still out this week, then Williams becomes the clear play as he's out snapping, out touching Le'Veon Bell in every single way, like by 3 or 4 to 1.
Yep.
When CEH is not playing. So Edwards-Helaire was a limited participant in Wednesday's practice. We're going to have to monitor this as the week goes on. If he's the player, if he's starting, I believe that he's the play. If he's not starting, then Williams is the play. So this is something we're not going to have an answer to while we're recording this podcast. So you kind of have to prepare for both situations. They're similarly priced enough that if you're going to build a lineup with Williams being at 4,800 and Helaire being at 5,000, it's not going to have to change the way that you build a lineup. So if you're nervous about it, build the lineup with Williams, leave yourself 200 on the table so you can easily pivot to Helaire without having to change the rest of your lineup. But that's kind of it. If CEH is active, I'm playing CEH. If CEH is not active, I'm playing Daryl Williams.
Yeah. Okay. And this one's tricky because, you know, if Edwards-Helaire's back, I'm not touching these guys in cash because he may be limited, right? After being out so long, he also may true. Play and he may crush Williams' value, but he may not have much cash value himself. So tournament options if Edwards-Helaire is active. If he's out, Daryl Williams at 4,800 becomes a pretty strong cash play. I mean, he played 50 of 58 snaps in this Chiefs offense last week. I mean, Bell was nowhere close in only 10 snaps, so no question about it. And if Edwards-Helaire is rolled out, Williams is a guy you want.
So I'm going to ask. Last week you hated wide receiver. This week I hate running back. I'm viewing running back as they're making me play two of these guys. So I'm just going to play two of them that I think are going to get 15 plus touches and move on to the wide receivers and tight ends where I think that's where the points are going to be scored this week. So I'm just looking at it's a pill that I have to swallow, and I'm just going to take the pill and move on.
So I agree with you. So what I'm thinking here is in a tournament setting, this is kind of your department. So what do you think about starting three? You know, don't you think that would differentiate? I think everybody hates running back this week.
It's definitely going to differentiate. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this on this podcast, but you asked what my reaction is. Bleh! Like, that's my reaction when you say play three running this week.
Yeah, but that's a lineup that may win the tournament, though, right?
You can definitely differentiate in the field.
If everyone is gagging thinking about that, I mean, that's what can win it for you, you know?
If you play three running backs this week, you will 100% be differentiating your lineup from the field. Because there's no super stud running backs this week on volume, on price, definitely not on matchup, right? We don't have the teams that we like to beat up all year on running backs. These are the four best teams in the league.
Guys, listen, I will start Devin Singletary, Daryl Williams, and Ronald Jones all under 5K and bring home $1 million if it makes everybody happy.
I hope you do.
I, in all honesty, Mike, you know, we talked about Daryl Williams, $4,800. I think I would like him more than both of these next two guys we're going to talk about, which is Leonard Fournette at 5,300 and Ronald Jones at 4,600. If for no other reason than if CEH is out, like you just said, that workload, you know, is going to be his, mm-hmm. whereas Fournette and Ronald Jones, there's definitely going to be a split here. So with Fournette at 5,300, with Ronald Jones at 4,600, talk to me about these Bucs running backs and how we can find a way to get him into our lineups.
Yeah, and I actually think I'm coming around on Ronald Jones this week. I think a lot of people are going to be on Fournette, but remember, he was out and he's getting healthier, and we saw him play more last week, and he looked very impressive, and it would not surprise me if he got the so-called hot hand and took control, because a lot of people are going to play Fournette. Not as many people will play Ronald Jones this week, and he's $700 cheaper. So again, if you're looking to be contrarian in a tournament, that's an avenue you can go. In cash, it's obviously very risky. Last week, Fournette played 48 snaps to 20 for Jones. He had 17 carries. Jones had 13. He ran 22 routes and had 6 targets. Jones, 4 routes and 1 target. So, you know, you're not going to get as much out of the passing game as you would with you'll get more out of the passing game with Fournette than you will Jones, but he could take control as a rusher and have 20 carries. And this is a Packers run defense that can be exposed at times. So I think he's an interesting, it's weird to say contrarian play this week because there's only like 5 guys, you know, but you know, I think you get my point.
I mean, here's the thing. As you said, the Packers can be exposed. Packers won 13 games this year and they allowed 100 yards rushing 11 times. I don't know how many times that's happened because it's a very arbitrary stat line and numbers to kind of look at. But like, usually if you're a team that's winning an awful lot of games, you're playing from ahead and teams are getting scripted out of running the football. That's how soft this Packers defense is against the run. Now, I'm not saying that the Packers defense or their defenders are soft. I'm saying from a fantasy perspective, we saw David Montgomery in a game where the Bears got throttled, have a massive fantasy day against them. I personally prefer Leonard Fournette. I'm going to go with Uncle Lenny in this spot because, as Mike mentioned, he's the one, even with both of them active the last 2 weeks in the playoffs, one of them has gotten no work in the passing game. That would be Ronald Jones. And Uncle Lenny has 10 targets and 9 catches in those two games. So give me the elevated floor. I don't think that Fournette has the 100-yard bonus very much in his future this weekend. But 100 yards from scrimmage is not out of the question. A 2-yard touchdown plunge is not out of the question. And he's the one who plays on passing downs. So for 5.3K, 12 to 15 points is definitely within the realm of possibilities here. And as I said, I'm picking two running backs that I think can just get me there and then move on to wide receivers where I think that's where we're going to make the bacon this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's run this out super quick with one more running back, Jamal Williams, $4,400. Obviously, Aaron Jones is the main running back there, but he's really the only other running back on the slate that seems playable in any way, shape, or form, given the amount of work that he actually gets. But obviously, I mean, that is a big decision for you to make, Mike Clay.
Yeah, only two fewer carries than Aaron Jones last week. 14 to 12 was a difference. But, you know, his passing game work is down. He only has 4 targets over his past 6 games. We're seeing more A.J. Dillon. So, again, if you want to get a little creative, save some cash, maybe you consider Jamal Williams. But, again, he's quite a tier down from these other guys we've talked about.
All right. The return we have all been waiting for is finally here. One of sports' most notorious icons is stepping into the octagon this Saturday. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a free shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is now offering players, new players, a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is super easy to play. Just pick 6 fighters, standard the salary cap, and pile up the points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at $1 million in total, at millions of dollars, not even $1 million, multiple millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about football playoffs, where DraftKings has even more up for grabs this weekend. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code FOCUS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code FOCUS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Well done, Daniel. And I have a question for you. Do you own or rent your home?
For now, I do, yeah.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? So yeah, no. I know. Well, I know, man. I know how it is. But you know what's easy, though? We're always looking for easy things. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. I'd like to head on over to www.StephonDiggsandDevonteAdams.com because those two guys look primed for big games this week. Mike, you have them as your top two wide receivers on the slate. Obviously, Stephon Diggs and Devonte Adams are two of the best in the NFL, but talk to me about why you like these two guys here based on their value in this short slate this week.
Yeah, well, they've been pretty good this season, I'm told. Diggs and Adams, pretty good in fantasy. I don't know. I didn't want to deliver too many statistical nuggets like I do all season long in this show because it's like, man, we talk about Diggs and Adams every week, right? They're always good plays. They're always a little underpriced. It's unbelievable. So I will say this, though. From a cash standpoint, you're looking for a high floor. You love a high ceiling, but certainly a high floor. Stephon Diggs has 8 or more targets in 14 straight games. Devonte Adams has 9 or more targets in 12 of his past 13. I mean, you can fit both of these guys into your lineup this week pretty easily and still get, you know, a Travis Kelce in there or a Tyreek Hill. It's unbelievable what you can kind of put together. So those guys stand out from the rest. If I can fit them in, I want to do that this week.
All right. Al, do you want to talk about either one of them or you want to move on to these next two guys? Because I'm interested in your thoughts on one of these next two guys in the second tier.
It is my expert opinion that both Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams are very good NFL players and also good plays this week in Daily Fantasy. When it comes to the next tier, Chris Godwin and Tyreek Hill, I prefer Tyreek Hill because the volume has basically been there. In past years, Tyreek Hill was only kind of like a one-trick pony, right? Like they would just kind of throw him the ball deep. He'd run a bunch of nines, and maybe you have this game-breaking game, or maybe you get like 8 fantasy points. Well, now he's getting like double-digit targets every single week. So you have a ridiculously high floor, plus the game, or the chance for a ridiculously high ceiling in a slate-breaking way, and he's only 7,200. Godwin is interesting to me this week because of the fact that we don't know Antonio Brown's status as of yet. He was a non-participant in Wednesday. So if he's out, somebody like Miller, I think, steps into a higher role, and Godwin sees a little bit of an uptick in terms of his targets. So does Evans. But there's a lot of mouths to feed in Tampa Bay's passing game. And really, there's two guys on Kansas City's pass offense that get the vast majority of the work, and Tyreek Hill is one of those two players. So if it comes down to one or the other, even though there's an $1,800 price difference here, I would prioritize Hill over Godwin, but both are fine. Like if I have Hill, it's not like I can't play Godwin at 5,400. You could easily get both into a lineup.
Yeah, Godwin at 5,400, like you just said. Tyreek Hill, $7,200. So he's actually the second highest priced wide receiver on the slate behind Devontae Adams, just a little bit more, $200 more than Stephon Diggs. So, Mike, anything you want to add here real quick on Godwin or Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, I think people might be scared off of Godwin after the dud last week, but keep in mind he had a touchdown in 4 consecutive games before that dud at a Bucs pass offense was really producing. So at 5,400, a nice value right there along with Hill, who, you know, again, the reservation with Hill is he had 25 total yards in that week 6 game. Again, if the Bills come out and they force this Chiefs team to run the football, it could be a little bit problematic. So again, I still like him. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's going to have 25 yards, but it's a possibility. And you have to think about that when you're setting a cash lineup.
Absolutely.
Godwin also dropped a touchdown pass last week that does not show up in the box score. And that would have fixed people that are game log watching there. So like, you know, if it's like, well, he had 7.4 points, that's not good. But if he had 15, you say, well, you know, he's fine. So like that one drop makes a big difference to people that are game log watching.
It really, really does. You know, a guy who didn't have a drop last week?
Who?
Cole Beasley, $4,100, caught all 7 of his targets in the wild card win over Indy. I'm curious, $4,100, obviously, you know, somewhere in here, you're going to have to find a cheaper player to put in. Now, obviously that could be at running back, but Cole Beasley feels like a nice $4,000 receiver to be able to fit into your lineup here.
Yeah, Beasley, you missed one game in there. You missed one problematic area, which is last week. He caught all 7 targets in the wild card round. He had 0 catches on 2 targets last week. So
correct.
That's a notable. I'm still concerned that he's not 100% healthy. That's why I'm scared. But look, you can't argue with the value. He's 4,100. This is a guy we know can reach 20 points for sure. It's a pass heavy, high scoring Bills offense. He's a huge part of it when all things are good. But, you know, ever since he got a little beat up a little less than a month ago, he has not been a dominant fantasy player for sure. He has no touchdown since week 13. I mentioned the dud last week. He's been under 10 points in 3 of his past 5 games. So again, I don't feel great about it in cash. I'm not going to tell you to completely avoid him in cash just because there's a lot you can do around him to, you know, get that feeling of upside with him, which is a weird thing to say about a guy in an early 30s slot wide receiver, but we've seen it at times in this Bills offense. In fact, he's been more boom bust this season than he has in years past, but he does have 20 point upside. He doesn't cost you a lot. You could build a lot of star players around him. So I like him more in tournaments, but he's not a complete fade in cash.
To be fair, 0 catches, 2 targets, but still no drops. So I'm not technically wrong by saying he didn't have any drops last week, Mike Clay. All right.
All right. Sure. Sure, Daniel. Whatever.
Thank you. Know,
I can tell based on your follow up there that you prepared for this podcast. So
I feel like I've broken Mike when he's like, you know what? Sure, Daniel. I don't care. Just whatever. let's talk about a couple more wide receivers here. Obviously, you've got a bunch of bucks that we want to talk about outside of Chris Godwin. Mike Evans at 5,800, Antonio Brown at 4,700, as Al just mentioned, dealing with some injury stuff, and John Brown, $4,300. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start with Al here, and then Mike, I'll let you fill in on the back end. Al, tell me what you like about either of these two Bucks wide receivers this week.
Either of the two Bucks. Okay, well, what I like about the two Bucks wide receivers, Mike Evans, he's healthy. He also is one of their primary targets once they get around the goal line. Him and Gronk are the two big end zone target getters on this team. When they get close, when they get in the red zone, Tom Brady definitely looks Mike Evans' way. So there's massive touchdown upside here, and on a short slate, that can't be ignored. Antonio Brown, for me, is a tournament sprinkle at most, and the very real possibility that Arians is a coach that doesn't really lie to us all that much. So when he says something, it's like, what do you think? Is he going to play this week? And he's like, well, it's still up in the air.
Yeah. Lock it like, in. It's up in the air.
There's a very real possibility that he may not play this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, he's somewhat forthright in terms of that. With his running backs, it's a different story. But when he's giving injury information, he's been pretty honest with the beat writers. So if he thinks he's not going to play, very real possibility he doesn't. I think John Brown is my favorite of this trio of running backs, wide receivers in this tier.
So let's talk about John Brown in just 1 second. Mike, I want to get your opinion on either of these two buck receivers in comparison to Chris Godwin, who is $5,400. So Mike Evans, $400 more. Why is he just a little bit lower than Chris Godwin for you?
Well, look, I don't have a problem with him. I mean, it's just price. So if you look back at the Bucks, I was going to save this for later, but I'll throw it out there now. If you go back to since the week 13 bye for Tampa Bay, so they've had pretty much this whole group together. Since that point, this whole group of pass catchers, Chris Godwin actually leads the team in targets during that span. And as mentioned, he has what, 5 touchdowns in his past 5 games. So he has been terrific, and he's $400 cheaper than Mike Evans, but Evans still a fine play. Look, he has the 100-yard bonus in 3 of his past 5 games. He has 3 touchdowns during the span. And again, he's another guy coming off a bad week. That's going to may scare some people. Only 3 targets in that game, but it wasn't surprising necessarily if you know the history of Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. He has shut him down over and over and over again. And yeah, Evans caught that early touchdown. That was it. He had 3 targets, and I believe that was his only catch. He only had a handful of yards in the game. So Lattimore, again, had a terrific game against him, and that kind of shows you why he struggled. I wouldn't expect that shaky of a game this week. Yes, they're facing Green Bay, who hasn't allowed much to wide receivers, but really none of these defenses have this season. And no, I don't think J.R. Alexander will shadow him in this game. He does shadow once in a while, but it was pretty much only when Kevin King was out. Kevin King will play in this game, so I think they'll just play their side. So it won't be Evans on Alexander throughout this entire game.
Okay. All right, we had mentioned John Brown, $4,300. Al, I want to ask you, is John Brown at $4,300 still a viable play in tournaments if Cole Beasley is a full go? Or are you looking at Cole Beasley and wondering whether or not he suits up, and that's how you decide on John Brown?
I mean, if Beasley is out, then John Brown is an absolute lock. If Beasley plays, I still believe that John Brown is going to out-snap him, out-route him, and play in those 2 wide receiver sets where Beasley will play in the 3 wide receiver sets. But John Brown will play in those also. So he's the secondary wide receiver here for me when that trio of Diggs, Brown, and Beasley are all active. Beasley, to me, gets elevated when John Brown is out. So with Brown active, he's the one that I'm prioritizing. He's 200 more than Beasley. He's the one that I look for. He's got a similar floor projection to Beasley, a higher medium projection for me, and definitely a higher ceiling projection with his ability to get downfield. So for 200 more, I'm willing to spend that 200 on Brown over Beasley. But yeah, again, okay to disagree, right?
Sure.
But that's just my personal take on it.
Yeah, and they are close. And by the way, Beasley is going to play, right? Like, he's not on the injury report. He seems like he hasn't been the same. The production hasn't been there lately, but he's not on the injury report. So, but you know, he's going to play in this game.
Okay. Normally at this point, Mike, I will list a bunch of guys that we also really like. I'd like for you to do that this week only because with the short slate, someone that you're going to be listening is going to hit somewhere, one of these lower price guys. So just give us the rundown here on some of these like fourth tier guys that you could slide in if you're trying to find a way to get someone else in your lineup when you got an extra $3,000 or $4,000 to fill in.
Yeah, and there may be other names here that I don't say who could be tournament options. Like I mentioned Isaiah McKenzie, who I think is a really interesting one, who's basically the fifth wide receiver for Buffalo, who out of nowhere could catch a long touchdown. So there are guys like that. But I on this list, Sammy Watkins, he's going to be back. He's back at practice. He's going to play at 3,800 this week. That's an interesting name for sure. Talk about a guy that could score 2 touchdowns out of nowhere. Alan Lazard at 4,200. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 3,900. Both viable punt options in that Packers offense. Gabriel Davis, speaking of Bills wide receivers, he's at 3,500. And Mecole Hardman at 4K against Buffalo. Again, doesn't get many snaps. He's really their fourth wide receiver in terms of snaps, really third in terms of targets, a little ahead of DeMarcus Robinson. But again, he's could be a game breaker. So these are guys that I like more, obviously, in tournaments and cash. I'd rather not if I don't have to take that chance.
Sure. Al, anything you want to add in here from a tournament perspective before we move on to tight ends?
Yes, it's the Antonio Brown if-then statement. If Antonio Brown does not play, then Scotty Miller is my favorite value play on the slate. In the seven games where Antonio Brown played and Scotty Miller played, he averaged 3.44 PPR points per game. And Miller, in the seven games where Antonio Brown did not play, averaged 11.2. So big bump in terms of targets, catches, touchdown possibility here. He's the if-then statement of the week.
Yep.
What is Scotty Miller's price point this week, if I may ask, without
$3,400.
$3,400. Okay. Is that a tournament only play for you if AB doesn't play, or Mike, is he a cash play too?
Yeah, it seems like Al's going the same direction. Yeah. He's certainly a cash play.
Yeah.
If Brown is out, because then that really opens up even more you could do with the rest of your lineup, getting more of those star players in.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about some tight ends. And very obviously we're going to start out with the best. Travis Kelce, $8,000, even with the higher price point, even with him being almost, what is he, $4,000 more than the next highest price tight end, or just a little bit more than that. Kelce still leads the value here, Mike. Talk to me about Travis Kelce taking on Buffalo, because this is a spot at tight end where, other than him, everybody else is real cheap past that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So if you look at the number one, basically the number one tight end on each team, so it'd be Kelce, Tonyan, Gronk, and Dawson Knox. I have Travis Kelce projected for 23 fantasy points this week. I have Tonyan, Gronk, and Knox combined projected for 23 points. So the same number. So that just shows you why he's priced so high and why he's so far ahead. And he's still a great value because, again, if his price is a little more than double everyone else and he's projected for 14 more points and the next closest guy, Tonyan, you know, he's still a value. So if I can work him into my lineup, I want to do that even at AK. He is, again, speaking of, you know, peaking, I was talking about that before with these offenses. Kelce kind of has, as of late, as dominant as he's been all year. I mean, he has double digit targets and a touchdown in five straight games, 23 plus fantasy points in all five of those games. He's been incredible. So Kelce, if you can find a way to get him in cash, you should absolutely do that.
Okay.
Find a way to get him in anything.
Or anything.
Just play, like, to me, you know, there's that movie with The Rock and Will Ferrell where they were the cops. And so like The Rock is at the press conference. Like I'm The Rock right now at that press conference. Al, are you going to be playing Travis Kelce this weekend? No comment, but yes.
Yeah. But yes, but yes. All right. All right. So you don't, I mean, from a tournament perspective, Al, Travis Kelce, I mean, it's interesting to me just because of those price points. We talked about Dawson Knox or Robert Tonyan or Rob Gronkowski. All three are guys that are a little bit cheaper. Let's talk about Knox and Robert Tonyan next, because I feel like of the next two groups, they're the guys that seemingly have the most get in the end zone upside. Although, you know, Gronk is right there too. Yeah, but let's talk about Dawson Knox and Robert Tonyan, because those two guys are guys that have gotten in the end zone. You've seen production from them. You know, Dawson Knox may be a little bit more sporadic than Robert Tonyan, but both guys are guys that you could potentially count on this week.
Yes. Look, I think that this is the third week in a row. I've said this for two straight weeks on this podcast. Travis Kelce, or let's just say tight end in, well, no, if it was going to be a tight end in flex, it would still be Travis Kelce because you want to put your later playing player in the flex. Travis Kelce in flex is viable once again for the third straight week, even probably longer than the third straight week. It's something we should have been doing for the entire second half of the season, is opening up flex to tight end, which is something I typically over the last 8 years don't do in daily fantasy. But Travis Kelce is just a different sort of animal. And if you want to find value by touchdown hunting with one of these tight ends like Knox or Tonyan or Gronk, I'm totally okay with that. Now, Mike can talk to you about how tough Green Bay is against opposing tight ends. So if you wanted to go with Knox or Tonyan in that spot, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I could do that if you would like. They're not as good as of late, right? So they've allowed the third fewest fantasy points to tight ends. the Packers have. They're more mid-range over the past month, so and past 2 months actually. So that's not really a concern. I'm not really too concerned about matchups with tight ends this week. In fact, they have good matchups, which just adds to your point of potentially using more of these guys in your lineup. I mean, the Bills for the season have allowed the fifth most to tight ends. The Bucks have allowed the ninth most. The Chiefs have allowed the sixth most and are actually worse over the past couple of months. So the matchups are actually pretty good overall for this tight end room. But yeah, I mean, look, Dawson Knox is 2,800. He's just super cheap. And he's been under 30 yards in three straight games, but he has four touchdowns in his past eight games. To Daniel's point, you know, out of nowhere, he could certainly catch a touchdown. And at that price point, he'll pay off just with that one catch in the game. And then Tonyan, you know, I've been a little low on him throughout the season. And I'm always low, guys, on these guys who don't get much volume but just score touchdowns randomly. Mm-hmm. And he's done it a lot. He's done it at an unsustainable rate. He has no more than six targets in a game. Can you believe that? He has no more than six targets in a single game all season long, but he does have a touchdown in six of his past eight games. So again, I'm with you. I think if you want to build and really maximize your cash lineup, to do that, you probably need a tight end in your flex, and you have a lot of options to do that.
I mean, touchdowns, as you mentioned, are extremely random. They're very hard to predict. Volume much easier to predict. It makes a lot of sense. So I know we're longer today than we normally are. So can I sum this up very quickly and very easily for people who are listening to the podcast still to this point? There's four please. Really, really great plays on this slate. You better play two of them and you should probably play three. So like, don't overthink it. Like between Adams and Diggs and Tyreek and Kelsey, you better have two. You should probably have three. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. And I think if you have two, maybe you want like a Godwin in there and one of the Bucks wide receivers, if you can pull that off. So I'm with you. For sure. My final note too, I just want to comment quick on the Bucks, because I foreshadowed it before, so I don't want to leave this out. I mentioned the Bucks targets since their week 13 bye. Godwin's first with 43. Mike Evans is 42. Antonio Brown is 39. Gronk and Cameron Brate both have 20. They are actually tied in targets with 20. We saw Brate kind of spike last week. So keep that in mind too, if you're looking to be a little bit unique at tight end. Brate and Gronk, they're right next to each other, and Brate's only 3,000. He's 200 less than Rob Gronkowski.
Okay. My final thought is a huge congratulations to Shane Told, who brought home a victory over in the crappy bands you never heard of fantasy league. Does it have to be a DFS specific final thought, or can it just be whatever it is we want to talk about at the end of the podcast?
No, talk about anything you want. This is your
Shane from Silverstein bringing home the W in the crappy bands you've never heard of fantasy league. Congratulations, Shane. All right, let's get into our lineups here. Mike Clay, because I won last week, I'm going to allow you to go first, obviously. The least of these before the greatest of these, so I will give you the floor.
Yeah, and I will make this fast because to Al's point, this is way too long for a two-game slate. So Josh Allen at quarterback, Leonard Fournette and Devin Singletary at running back, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin at wide receiver, and then I'm going to go with Dawson Knox and Rob Gronkowski. The tight end and flex, the Bucks defense is my D for now. I really want to get Kelsey in there, so no promises on me sticking with this because I want Kelsey in this lineup. But that's what I'm rolling with for the time being.
Okay. My lineup obviously looks quite similar. I've got Josh Allen, which is the same. I've got Devin Singletary, which is also the same as Mike. I've got Ronald Jones rather than Leonard Fournette, so we will see what happens there. I've got Diggs and Hill, which is also the same as Mike, but I've got Davante Adams in my lineup, with Robert Tonyan as my tight end and Chris Godwin as my flex. And I've got the Bills as my defense. I looked at doing what you just did, Mike, and I took Tonyan out and put in Knox and Gronk. And that would allow me to run potentially Aaron Jones as one of my running backs if I wanted, but I'm not really sold on it. So a lot of options. In all honesty, as much as those, it's a smaller slate, there really are a lot of options to put together lineups this week.
Yeah, I actually like your lineup a lot. It looked like one of my variations, too. In fact, it's kind of hard to believe you could fit. It's Ronald Jones. I was thinking it was Aaron Jones, right?
So no, that's Ronald Jones. It's Rojo.
Yeah, if that was Aaron Jones, I'd be like, I was looking at that, and I'm like, I was trying so hard to get Aaron Jones in. I'm like, how did he do? Like, there's no way this adds up. Like, there's no way you could fit all these guys into your lineup. But it's Ronald Jones. That makes more sense.
Does not compute. I 404'd. All right, so Al, give us your weekly tournament lineup.
All right, I'm going to keep it real simple. I'm going to play Josh Allen. I'm going to punt running back with Fournette and Williams. I'm going to go with the American hero, Steph Diggs, John Brown, Tyreek Hill at wide receiver. Tonyan's my tight end. Travis Kelce is my flex play because he's great. And I just put the Buccaneers defense, and I still have 200 left on the table in case I need to switch to CEH or if I want to change that defense.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good, that's a fine cash lineup too. I think that's going to be the case for a lot of tournament lineups this week.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Thank you to everybody for hanging out with us. We apologize that this took so long. It's hard. We just start talking. We have fun with each other. What do you want me to say? I'm sorry I like hanging out with you guys, Mike, specifically.
Wow. Look, I could do this. Look, I could do this all day, but
not I like hanging out with Mike specifically. I like hanging out with you guys, Mike specifically. I'm letting you know because you said that it was too long of a podcast.
No, hey, I knew how to take that. I knew how to take that. You just like hanging out with you guys, Mike specifically. That's what you said. No, I heard what you said.
That's true. That's what he said.
That is not true. That is not true.
No, it's on tape. We have it on tape saying you like hanging out with me. So,
but not me.
But not you
specifically.
I love both of you guys as much as I love everybody else that is listening to this podcast still. That is going to wrap it up for us this week. Thank you to both Mike and Al and all of you that are listening. Please be good to each other. Continue to love each other. I'm really excited about what this year is going to be. And I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to look at for our lineups afterwards. I can't wait to be tied with Mike going into the Super Bowl. Oh, it's going to be so good. Oh, narrative. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. We love you guys. We will see you next week. Have a great, which round? What round is this? Divisional.
Championship.
Championship round. Have a great championship round.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.